This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Morning Run with Xiaoning and Philip. And we're going to be talking about cars, or the lack of car sales, because after almost 2 months of closure, the automotive industry has finally been allowed to reopen for sales and production of vehicles, even in states under the National Recovery Phase 1. Now, this is a much welcome move by the industry, as Selangor and Kuala Lumpur account for close to 50% of the total industry volume every year.
However, their road to recovery isn't smooth sailing due to the global chip shortage, as chip makers can't keep up with the rising demand from different sectors. So even with government's extension of sales tax exemption to this year end, automakers are unable to take advantage of this incentive due to supply chain issues. The question then is, how big of a dent have closures and chip shortages made to the automotive industry?
So for an update, we have on the line with us Dato' Aisyah Ahmad, President of the Malaysia Automotive Association, otherwise known as MAA, with us. Thanks for joining us this morning, Dato'. Now, how did the FMCO that lasted 2 months impact the automotive industry's sales and production?
During the FMCO closure, the auto industry lost 14 billion in revenue ringgit within a 2 months period in June and July. And we sold 1,921 units in June and 7,086 units in July, compared to an average of around 50,000 units before FMCO was implemented. As far as production is concerned, only 275 units were produced in June and 2,775 units in July 2021 versus an average of 45,000 units pre-MCO period. Our 1,300 auto dealers throughout Malaysia were also very badly affected due to no revenue income, which affected their cash flow, as all their cash reserves had been used up during MCO1. The shutdown also affected not only the automotive companies, but also the total auto eco chain system, like sales, workshops, spare parts, dealers, component parts suppliers, as well as financial institutions.
With the latest relaxation of rules that allows auto industries and car showrooms to operate, have most companies resumed operation, and has the government been clear on the SOPs for the reopening?
Yes, most car showrooms and dealers, as well as production plants, had started to operate, but with strict SOPs and at certain production percentage, depending based on the percentage of the employees having completed the second vaccination. Currently, most employees are divided into groups to reduce infections, which are in line with the SOPs set by the authorities. However, many brands are still facing supply shortages of components from second-tier suppliers based in MCO Phase 1 states, as they had not achieved their second vaccination at 40% level. The government has been very clear, because I think MITI has issued the SOPs and we have also distributed to all our members, and our members understand what exactly what they can do and cannot do during this Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3 and Phase 4 period.
So, Dato', what's the progress of vaccination for staff in the auto industry then?
Most auto industry employees have been vaccinated and received the first vaccination. However, for second vaccination, the rate has been lower, especially out of KL and Selangor. However, some of our larger auto companies had almost all the employees vaccinated with a second dose, and they had signed up with MITI for the PCAS program to vaccinate their employees and can now operate at full capacity.
On to the issue of semiconductor shortage. To what extent is the local automotive industry disrupted by this?
The global microchip shortage had also affected some auto industry players, as overseas production of CKD and CBU vehicles had been disrupted and supplies had been delayed by a 3 to 4 months period. This led to a backlog of deliveries of new vehicles for certain models, varying from model to model and by brand. To top it up, our local suppliers of auto component parts are also facing problems in sourcing for the chips, which had caused delays in production due to the MCO. And this has resulted in production of component parts not being allowed to operate especially in the MCO1 states. This does not assist the auto industry suppliers, specifically the tier 2 suppliers where the employees had not reached the 40% second vaccination status in the MCO1 states and can only operate at 60% capacity if 40% of the employees had been vaccinated.
And can the government provide any assistance regarding this chip shortage?
This is a global supplier problem since many of the plants producing the chips are based overseas and worldwide. It is more of a unique supply chain disruption, unique to the related industry. Our government should allow microchip suppliers to operate at full capacity even in the MCO1 state so that more microchips can be produced to enable a steady microchip supply to enable more motor vehicles to be produced, but following strict SOPs.
So what do you hope to see from Budget 2022 for the automotive industry?
We really hope the government, through the Ministry of Finance, will come up with policies to spur the economy of Malaysia, specifically for the government to announce the auto incentives on electric vehicles, which had long been overdue, as well as extend the sales tax exemption on motor vehicles post-2021.
Thank you for your time. That was Dato' Aisha Ahmad, President of the Malaysia Automotive Association, giving his views and ending with her little wish list for Budget 2022. I think primarily, of course, the extension of the sales and service tax for another year. It was actually only for 6 months of this year. Then it got extended to the end of the year. And of course, a better or maybe a clearer automotive policy with regards to electric vehicles. We actually have one. We actually have a national auto policy that was released in 2020. But the feedback is that it's a bit short in terms of details especially
yes.
If we want to be the regional hub for electric vehicles. And this was a conversation, an interesting one, which we had with Eddie Du, who is a research analyst at RHB Investment Bank. It was entitled, the podcast, you can listen to that on our BFM app or on the website. It's entitled, Malaysia Losing Battery Charge in ASEAN, because we don't rank so high when we compare the policies with other countries in the region.
We don't. And I think that there's also a debate about whether the policy needs to be broad-based or very targeted at specific manufacturers. I think this is where the likes of Thailand and Indonesia have been quite successful to do so, because they have been really targeted at specific manufacturers to do that. But, you know, Shaoning, the point, you know, Dato was mentioning about more incentives from the government, that is very kind of conflicting to the earlier conversation we had, that we need to basically put in place fiscal policy, right? So the government really has a very tight rope to walk in terms of what kind of incentives are going to further extend for the future, as it needs to show up its fiscal position going forward.
Yeah, you don't want to basically collect less tax than you need to, right?
Need to, right.
But at the same time, you think, okay, these are the pillars for future growth, right? So we need as a country to move towards more sustainable green projects rather than going back to the same old rule book of building another highway, building another train, which doesn't serve us any purpose, right? And doesn't prepare us for 2030, 2040, 2050.
Yep.
Now, for us Malaysians to adopt electric vehicles, so it goes hand in hand. You need an infrastructure so that these manufacturers want to make the cars here. But they only really want to make the cars here if at the same time Malaysians actually buy these cars, right? Mm. And we use them. So you use this as a hub and then you also have a big enough local market. But if you look at electric vehicle usage in Malaysia, it's extremely low. And there's a few reasons. One, of course, is the pricing mechanism doesn't really make any sense.
Yep.
So the cheapest electric vehicle at the moment is the Nissan Leaf, which, if I'm not wrong, is 180,000. And that's low-end electric vehicle.
That's not going to move mass market at all.
Yeah, why is it 180,000? It should be, in fact, priced more attractively than a car in that class for a normal petrol car. So 1.6. You can get a 1.6 for 80, 90, 100,000. It should be around that price.
Yep.
The second thing is, you drive an electric vehicle, where are you going to charge it if you're planning to drive around Malaysia? The distance now can go as far as 600 kilometers. But in the middle, maybe you need to charge. Then where do you go? Borrow some house? Go and plug it in? We don't have that kind of infrastructure in place, though.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And you know, how do you drive that consumer domestic demand to actually drive investment demand later?
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.